Are you in Philippians chapter 2? Good. All right, good. Philippians chapter 2. While you're in Philippians 2, I'm going to read you a verse. Matthew chapter. Don't turn there. Don't go. Matthew 28:19 says, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And it's a blessing to have baptismal services. I feel like we are fulfilling what God has called us to do and teaching the Word of God and then that next step. So that is a great blessing. Come be part of that tonight. Be part of that. Be part of that service. Again, part of it will be outside. So if you get chilly or something like that, make sure you bring a light coat. But it's going to be 80 today. 80. Grandpa Haight, you had something you wanted to say? I saw your hand up.
Well, I was wondering when the men's quartet was going to be on the special.
That's very good.
Oh,
we're trying to get Jacob, and that's the problem. You know, we gotta replace Jake. So
I'm sure
I think there's people. There's people. We just need a willing vessel, is what I'm saying. So very good. Excited about that. Thank you, Brother Haight, for the quartet plug. I love the Word of God. In studying this, you say that every week. I know that. But I love the Word of God because it undoes us. It takes our very nature and just tears it apart. Like, I'm so American. I'm just, that's who I am. I see the world through American eyes. And the Word of God says, hey, that's great. I'm glad you're an American. It doesn't say that, but it says that. And it says, and I'm going to help you fix that. Because with being an American, I come with Americanism. Say, what is that? I'm in charge. I run my own show. I do this. I do that. And there is a struggle, a personal struggle for the American Christian. What is that? Getting over the me first mentality. I was at a fast food place. I can't remember which one it was. And I watched an adult cut in line. Cut in line. And I'm like, what on earth? Now, being the mayor of the world, I felt like it was my duty to right these wrongs. But what is that? That's me first. And the Bible undoes all that. It takes our very nature and just pulls it apart and says, that is not how you ought to think. And Christ being our great example. If you got a bulletin this morning, I put a definition on the front. If you want to look there, maybe it'll help you as I read this. A servant is a person, male or female. This is right out of Webster's 1828 dictionary. A person, male or female, that attends another for the purpose of performing menial offices for him. Say, what does that mean? Just doing little things here and there. One who is employed by another for such offices or for other labor. Here's the part. And is subject to his command. Oh, it just rips at our Americanism. I am in subject to no man. Well, how about we do this? We'll look at Christ and see how Christ was. And then we'll see if we can make some applications in our own life. I'm not saying that we take down our American flags. I'm just saying, as an American, it promotes an attitude that could be ungodly. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your love and kindness to us and your long-suffering. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Help us to be more like Christ. Lord, help us to be more like you. Lord, I pray as we open up your word here today that you would lead us and guide us. Lord, that you would be honored and glorified with our life. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. When we're in charge, you know who we take away from? God himself. But when we're the servant of Christ, wow, our life just glorifies him. And that's what we have to remember. The office of a servant, listen, this is what's great about serving the Lord, is 100% completely voluntary. You are here this morning by your choice. the DeMeos have chosen. They came in, I looked in their classroom. I don't know what Brother DeMeo's got going, but he's got clipboards with markers attached to it. He is ready, each with their individual marker set up. That's first and second grade, is that right? Brother DeMeo takes his Sunday school class serious. But he's in there not because we took him, grabbed him by his ear, and said, you're teaching this class. He volunteered to work with 6 and 7 year olds, teaching them the Word of God. You're here this morning because you volunteered. Isn't the service of God wonderful? There is no mandatory drafts. All right, here's your Bible. Get out there and go out and do the work of God. Nope. We serve God voluntarily. Christ volunteered to do what he did. Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He says this. Brother Garrett, he says this. It's good to see Brother Garrett this morning. I just saw Brother Garrett through the door. Brother Garrett, he says this. I want you to think this way. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. See that? He took it upon himself. Christ left the glories of heaven on purpose, voluntarily, to become a servant. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that tells us that created all things. And he says, I'm going to go and I'm going to serve mankind. Christ, the servant of God, is subordinate. That's what a servant is. And the Bible says, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in the fashion of as a man, he humbled himself. We heard this morning of how important humility is in our life. We struggle with anger. Great. Let's cut down that tree of anger or pride and replace it with humility. That'll attack that. Man, if you missed Sunday school, we missed a lot of things. We did math. We did farming. And we conquered the sin of anger. That's what he did here. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. We're looking at Christ this morning, the servant of God. Number one, he was subordinate. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Christ humbled himself so much, so subordinately, that he allowed his own creation to kill him. Voluntarily. That was the servant of God. Even the death of the cross. How much did Christ serve me? He was willing to die for me. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Christ, the servant of God, not only was he subordinate, look at chapter 2 and verse 3. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the fullness of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. Look at now. Look at what the Father did. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Christ, the servant of God, was entrusted with something. Treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. And he says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He was given something. He was sent with a message. God really trusted him because it says this, all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They're in there. Christ, the servant of God, was subordinate, number one. Number two, he was trusted. Number three, look at this. John chapter 7. John chapter 7 So thankful for our Savior this morning. John chapter 7 and verse 14, it says this. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" Remember, he was entrusted with all wisdom and knowledge. In verse 16, Jesus answered and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." Look at verse 18. It says this, "He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." Christ, the servant of God, number three, didn't seek his own glory. He wasn't there to create a kingdom or establish something on this earth. No, he came to fulfill the will of the Father. Remember that? Remember when he was in the garden, he said, what? "Not my will, but thine be done. If this cup could pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He didn't seek his own glory. He didn't promote himself in any way. That's a good servant. He was busy about the master's business. Look at John chapter 4 and verse 34. John 4:34. Jesus saith unto him, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." To do the will of him that sent me. He was busy about his master's business, the Father. And then if we go over to John chapter 12 and verse 50. See, where are you going with all this? Hold on, hold on. Patience, patience. John chapter 12 and verse 50. "And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as I, or as the Father said unto me, so I speak." He fulfilled or completed the task. Nothing left open. Isn't that a blessing? We were asking about this morning in Sunday school. I asked the question, how many of you have like a project that you know you kind of need to get to, but you just, "I don't want to do it"? Sure, right? Unfinished jobs. When how many of you ladies already are thinking about, all right, this afternoon when I get home, I'm going to have to change, move the wash in, from the washing into the dryer. There's some in the dryer. I got to fold that. We got to iron all the socks. We got to do all that. And say, iron socks? Who does that? You don't iron your socks? You guys are lazy. Got to get to the grocery store. I got to do. And you're thinking about all these incomplete tasks. Christ fulfilled every task as the servant of God. There's nothing left open. Now there are some things to come that the Father said, "Not yet, not yet." But Christ, being the servant of God, and then he said those words in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Christ being God's servant. I want to show you this, really neat. This is super neat. Isaiah 42. And then we'll get into the transfer of the message, if you will. How many of you, maybe over Corona break, did some puzzles? Anybody do some puzzles? We did a bunch of puzzles. We were cranking out 1,000-piece puzzles like every 2 days or 3 days. Say, why? Because there was nothing else to do. We were doing puzzles. And there are, not all puzzles are created equal. Some puzzles fit together nicely, and at the end you could pick them up by the corner and hold it, and they're all still together. And then there's other puzzles that are made in China and other places that you pick up one and the piece comes out and they don't really match, and there's like four or five that could go in the same spot and then they're missing. Or that's not the Father in Christ. It all fits perfectly together. And that's the Word of God. And I love this about the Word of God. As I was studying this and putting this all together, it would take a thought from here and connect it to here and over here and put it all together. And this thought is all throughout the Scriptures. So much so, look at Isaiah 42:1. Behold my servant, the Father says. Who's he talking about? Christ. Behold my servant, who I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. All of Israel knows that is a reference to the Messiah. Now we go to that same thing is said in, go to Matthew chapter 12. Love this. So, Christ, whose servant is he? He's God's servant. Behold my servant, he says. Christ walks into Matthew chapter 12 and verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he drew him sons from... verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, behold my servant. Isn't that awesome how that here it is fulfilled in or said in Isaiah 42, and here we are some hundreds of years later, and he was worried that they were going to call it out about him. It just all works so perfectly together. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Here, Christ fulfilling the servant of God. Whose servant is Christ? God's. But then he's also ours, which blows my mind. Matthew chapter 20. And then we'll get into the fulfillment of it. All right. Sarah went shopping this week. Is that right? She was super excited. She called me and she's like, listen to this. I got you five shirts, two ties, a pair of dress pants for Joe, two pairs of shoes for Joe, is that correct? Vans, not like a minivan, but like Vans, all at Kohl's, 30% off. And then the question is, guess how much that was, right? Ever get that? How much you think I spent? So I guessed, and she's like, nope, less. And, you know, so she told me. She's like, I saved $450. I said, no, you spent. I know, isn't that a blessing? Look at this, I got a new tie. Isn't this nice? This is a new tie, new shirt. Yeah, exactly. Say, why are you saying that? Sometimes, you know, different people get excited about different things. Mrs. Russo gets excited about getting good deals. She loves it. She regularly is looking to save us money, and to which I am very appreciative. And she gets excited about that. She called me and told me that. I'm like, wow, that's great. And I was right in the middle of doing something. And so we said goodbye and hung up. And within 5 seconds, she called me back. She's like, I don't feel like you're as excited about this as... So I said, no, I'm really excited, really. And I'm trying to convince her over the telephone with half-heartedness. Hang up. Literally 10 more seconds, the phone rings. You called me 3 times within... I didn't tell. She had to really update it. And, oh, I forgot to tell you. And I got $10 Kohl's cash. So the next time. But she double applies it. So she applies it to this purchase and the next purchase. So it counts $10 off. Anyway, so she was super excited about that. Say, why are you saying that? Because I'm super excited about Jesus Christ being the servant of God. And if I'm failing to transfer that, I do feel bad, but I'm excited about Jesus coming as the perfect servant of God to come to me to teach me that way. That excites my heart. Say why? Because it undoes me. It takes us who are broken in our mindset, and God says, I'm going to not only say these things, but show them to you. It's one thing to speak truth, but it's so much even better to show that. God didn't just speak about it. He fulfilled it and lived it. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 26. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be your chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. Hey, if there was ever a person that should have been the recipient of ministering, it was Christ. But he says, that's not why I came. I came as the servant of God. Behold my servant. But not only that, he came to serve me. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. To which I got in on. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not the Lord was crucified. Isn't that good? But I came to a place called Calvary, and I met the Lord Jesus Christ, who ransomed me. Not only is he God's servant, but he's man's servant. All that being said, go to John chapter 13. We're in John chapter 13 and verse 34 a little bit. Or not a little bit. We were in John chapter 13, verse 34. I'm going to turn the air on to circulate. Say, I'm just comfortable. I'm sorry. All right. John chapter 13. Here we are, Last Supper. Verse 2. I think there's 22 chapters, right? 21 chapters in the book of John. By John chapter 13, we're already at the Last Supper. That means from 13 on, it's the last week. Yes? And the Last Supper, and the supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, Jesus does this. If you can imagine the scene, he riseth from supper. Remember, every part of servanthood. See, that's the difference between, in my study, listen now, I'm not looking to offend anybody. The difference between a servant and a slave. A slave is forced. A servant is there voluntarily. Okay? So Christ, the servant of God, remember that word voluntarily. It was by choice. He chose to serve mankind. And he says this in verse 4, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. So he puts his outer clothes off. He takes a towel and he kind of wraps it around himself. Gets a thing of water. And he does this voluntarily. Do you understand that as Christ is the perfect servant of God, he says, let this mind be in you. We too ought to be like how Christ was towards the Lord, subordinate. We ought to be allowed to have Him trust the greatest of truth and wisdom in us. We also ought not to seek our own glory. We also ought to be busy about the Master's business and complete what God has for us. And He gives us this beautiful picture here in John chapter 13. As Christ rises from the table, He's about to be crucified in less than, in a very short amount of time. And He stands up and He says, in His mind or whatever it was, I want to teach you a lesson. He stands up, He gets a basin of water, He changes His outfit, He takes off some of His garments, He grabs a towel, and what does He do this? He does this voluntarily. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Hold your hand in John chapter 13. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9. He says this, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Hey, if Christ voluntarily serve mankind, I too ought to voluntarily serve mankind. As every man hath received the gift, how have you received the gift of salvation? Praise the Lord. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Voluntarily. We ought to be an example of what it means to be a Christian each and every day. How do I show that? Wearing Jesus t-shirts, a little bracelet. Sure, those are great. I think those are nice. Those are encouraging. But even more than that, we ought to fulfill this by serving one another voluntarily. The work of the Lord is not mandated. We see that by Christ choosing to take a towel and He stepped away. Verse 5, the Bible says this. After that He poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. So what's that? I'll tell you what that is. That's love. I don't know who did it the other day in the bathroom, but I walked into the bathroom after someone took a shower, and we have these new white plush, we have two white plush towels, right? Nice. From Kohl's, probably. Where are they from? Doesn't matter. They're night white. They're like you just wrap them and it just absorbs the water. They're nice. They're white. Very bright. And I walk in and it's laying on the floor of the bathroom with muddy feet all over it. And I thought, oh my. This is not good. You know what Christ did? Took off His coat and He grabbed a towel and he goes to each of the individual disciples and He starts washing their feet. You know what that was? That's love. He's dirtying Himself to clean them. He's spending His stuff. What does He get out of this? Nothing. He gets a dirty towel. There's some, no offense, but I'm not in on washing anybody's feet, physically. But spiritually, we ought to be quick to volunteer and express love for one another. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Say, I don't get anything out of it. You see why he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus? Because that's not how we think. What do I get? A dirty towel. That's what you get. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Say, I don't know, that's kind of hard. Here, let's go back to John chapter 13, where Christ is at the Last Supper. He knows he's about to be betrayed, and he stands up and he goes and he washes the feet of the disciples. That's what he's doing. You know what that was? That was love. You know what service of others is and service of God? It's an expression of love. It's selfless love. So many times we gauge our what we do based on what we get. Well, I'll do that just as long as I get something out of it. That's not love. That's not service. Sole purpose of this whole thing in John chapter 13 was to honor and bless somebody else. Number one, it was voluntarily. Number two, it was an act of love. Number three, look at verse 6. And you're going to find this. As you attempt to love other people, as you attempt to voluntarily serve somebody else, look at this. In verse 6, it says, "Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" He's like, "What are you doing?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do thou knowest not now. Thou shalt know hereafter." Often love and care and service towards someone else, it might be misunderstood. It was misunderstood by Peter. He couldn't figure it out. We ought to be reversing roles here. Service of others is quite alarming sometimes. Sometimes it's hard to do nice things for people. I'm independent. I don't need your help. And sometimes they don't understand. That's all right. Did he stop with Peter? No, he kept going. Understand that when you are serving somebody else, they might not totally get it. That's okay. You're not doing it for them to necessarily get it. You're doing it in a response to your love for the Lord and love for others. Now, I don't think you should go to someone that just got a, you know, Rick. Where's Rick? There's Rick. Nope. Where's Rick? Where's your dad? He's in Sunday school. How happy. Very good. He's not usually in Sunday school. So Rick has this beautiful new F-350 dually truck. I'm not going to go up to him and say, "Hey, listen, give me the keys." I don't think this is good for you to have. That's not really serving them. That's serving you. And that's a lot of times how we serve somebody else. I'm gonna help you with this, but inevitably you're just trying to help yourself. But please, don't stop because it's misunderstood. Continue through because it's right and it's good. The fulfillment of serving others, number one, is voluntary. Number two, it's an act of selfless love. Number three, remember, it might be misunderstood. Peter couldn't figure out what was going on. As we continue, Peter, in verse 8, Peter saith unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." So we see here, you understand that it's not about the water. Because if that was the case, we would need the water that Christ used. There's a mindset here. Simon Peter saith unto him, Simon Peter, he's great. Now, how many of you love Simon Peter? Man, I love Simon Peter. Why? Because of this. Simon Peter saith unto him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." He's like, "Hey, if this is what I need from you, then don't just do my feet, do my entire body." He saith unto him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all." See, and there's more to this, and I don't necessarily want to get into the doctrinal part of it, but he does wash us in our hearts, cleanses us from our sin. But you know what we need every now and then? To kind of wash our feet. What is that? That is, sometimes I tread in places I ought not to. and I need to get clean again. But that's not part of this lesson. As we continue, for he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, "You are not all clean." So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, "Know ye what I have done to you?" I am sure he is saying this because they were confused. He says, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, look at now, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." Does that mean I need to go to Brother Rodell, bring out a basin and a towel, and no. No, keep those in there. But I ought to serve him. Because you see what that's what we're talking about here. "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you," verse 16, "the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent me." Look at verse 17. "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." Say what? Washing people's feet? No, just serving God and serving others. You want the greatest amount of joy? I was talking to someone this week, and you know what they said? They said, "Nick, all I want to do is be happy." And they're trying to fulfill it with the world's best. And you know what they're going to come up with? Empty. The only way to be happy is truly serve God and serve others. But this thing is to be replicated. He says in verse 14, "Ye also ought to wash one another's feet." Hey, there ought to be some service between you two. There ought to be some service between fellow mankind. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're almost done. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. "For we are laborers together with God. As ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." We are laborers together. We serve one another. We serve others together. We serve God together. That's how it ought to be. That is the example. That is what needs to be replicated over and over and over again. That's why servanthood is so un-American. Because I'm so independent. I'm so self-sufficient. And God says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You know what would the physical act of washing someone's feet help us with? We talked about this morning in our Sunday school class. Humility. Just keeps me in place. Keeps me acting how I should. Keeps our body and spirit in check. And go with me back to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And then we get into the passage. Look at verse 3. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." What is that? That's a humility. That's a service of others. The sole purpose of this, again, was to honor and bless others. So look at your life and the things that you do on a daily basis. Have you fulfilled the role of the servant? Is there incomplete tasks? Are you subordinate towards others and to God Himself? Or are you seeking your own glory? Have you volunteered? Have you expressed selfless acts of love? Warning, it might be misunderstood, but it is to be replicated. Lastly, Romans chapter 12. Lastly. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Romans 12, 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. And honor, preferring one another. That means they get the best. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And remember what we said. And doing this, joy. Isn't that what it says? Rejoicing. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Verse 13. Just distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. What is that? That is being a servant. Christ, the perfect example, in Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He says, I want to change the way you think. If anybody deserved ministering to, it was Christ. And yet he chose to minister. And we think we deserve to be ministered to. Where would you have found yourself? Are you going to get the basin and the towel to spend yours on somebody else? Or are you sitting in the chair saying, I'm next? That helps us understand where we would be. Let's all stand. As we conclude our service here, I just ask that you'd think about how you think. Do you have the heart of a servant? Or are you expressing the demands of a Lord? Heavenly Father, we thank you for today and thank you for the lesson, first hour. Thank you for the message here, the second. God, thank you for your perfect example. Lord, help it to be ingrained in us that we ought to serve one another. That we would prefer one another. That we would act selflessly in love toward one another. Lord, it's not our natural tendency and we need your help. Lord, I ask that you'd watch over us now, protect us as we travel home, bring us back safely tonight. God, that we could rejoice and celebrate those that have trusted you and are taking steps of faith and following that. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to see things as you see things. Help us to do things as you would have done. Lord, again, thank you for this time. Thank you for these that are here. Lord, I pray that they were encouraged and blessed by the things that were said through your word. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.